I'm glad to be with you all. It's been a while. I was talking with someone and I said, I come once in a blue moon, so today is a blue moon day. One thing special about Elim Chapel is the fact that our children are very involved. That's special, and that's special to my heart, and it touches my heart to see children here because I'm a father. And I know many of you have children, and your children was part of the worship team today and doing many other things at the church. And I know as a parent, it touches your heart. It's special to see your child there. So I wonder how much more it touches the heart of God when he sees his children involved in his work. So I just want to acknowledge that. That's one thing I've noticed at Elim Chapel. There is opportunity for our kids. It's not the excellent praise and worship team that only gets the opportunity. No, our kids do too. We do too. And I want to praise God for that. And I want to praise God for that. And I want to thank the leadership. I want to thank the pastor and his team. And I want to thank the volunteers who spent countless hours ensuring that we do a service and we provide service and we conduct ourselves in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. We make good music. Amen. Amen. We are in the series of the meaning of life. Today we're going to look at worship and gratitude, and that's the series. I've slightly edited the title, although I haven't changed it there. I've changed it, or I've edited it to worship and thanksgiving. Meaning of life is something that we don't usually engage in as part of our small talk when we meet strangers, right? If you don't want to connect with them, probably start with meaning of life. But meaning of life is usually not a small talk topic. Certain phases of our life, it comes up though. Certain phases of our life. When we face a challenge, a mountain that seems difficult to climb, overcome, a crisis, it pops up. It could be an occasion like this. Pastor decides, this is what we're going to speak on. This is what the Lord has placed in the heart for the congregation. Then as a conversation, as a discussion, it comes up. And finally, with the passage of time, I can certainly tell you that I think more about the meaning of life now than I did a decade or two ago. Some of you are there with me. So, challenges, occasion, passage of time, meaning of life pops up. Today we're going to look at meaning of life as it pertains to worship and thanksgiving, or worship and gratitude. So what is worship and thanksgiving? Worship is recognizing and acknowledging who God is. On one side, worship is recognizing and acknowledging who God is. Thanksgiving, on the other hand, is expressing gratitude for what God has done. Are those two essential? Those two interconnected? Absolutely. Worship recognizes and acknowledges who God is, and thanksgiving expresses gratitude for what he has done. So hence those two arrows. Worship and thanksgiving are two very important aspects of our relationship with God. Thanksgiving is an essential ingredient of worship, and it moves us into the presence of God. Thanksgiving moves you into the presence of God. So very essential elements of entering the presence of God. You may ask, why do we worship? Why do we give thanks? I'm happy the way I am. The book of Psalms is a good place to start. A few examples of other Psalms, 100, 34, 111, so on and so forth. We have 150. But I just picked one Psalm, Psalm 100. I'm going to read from verses 2 to 5, NIV. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For, that key word there, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is the why of worship and thanksgiving. Why do we worship? Why do we give thanks? Let me just capture that in a more pictorial form. Worship and thanksgiving. We worship the God who made everything, the God who is above everything. There's no one like our God. He is the creator. I'm not going to get into the debate of everything else related to creation, but he is the creator. We are in a church setting. And he is our Father. Some of you may disagree. I don't see God as my Father. I hear you. We may have had an imperfect father, flaws and everything, but God is a perfect father. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Thanksgiving. Why do we give thanks? The goodness of God, the love of God, and the faithfulness of God. Three things. It's from that psalm. The goodness of God, the love of God, and the faithfulness of God. These are three immutable, in other words, unchanging facts. Three immutable, unchanging facts. The goodness, the love, and the faithfulness. No matter your circumstance. I'm going to repeat that. The goodness, the love, and the faithfulness of God are immutable. No matter the circumstance. Bobby, look at me. My life is a mess. My health going downward. My business don't have a job. Circumstances. But the three immutable facts remain that God is good. He loves and he is faithful, and he will come through because those three are immutable. Hence, there is hope. I'm glad that our God is not fluid. I feel like doing something today. Zap. I don't feel like doing anything today. Too bad for you. Immutable. Goodness, love, faithfulness. I don't see it now. Don't lose hope. Immutable. Goodness, love, faithfulness. So, why do we worship our Lord? think I've answered that question. All right. What happens if there is a lack of worship then? What happens if there is a lack of worship? If there is a lack of worship and thanksgiving, what happens? We need to look at that too. Romans 1, 20, 21. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God would look like or God was like. As a result, their minds became darkened and confused. The first picture is a potter making a pot, creator. The second one is a podium, number one, number two, number three. When we lose our focus on who God is, someone else takes spot number one. And God gets to spot number two, three, or out of range. And when that happens, like a domino, things begin to happen with your life. It touches not just one area, but it touches many areas of your life. So, who is taking center stage? Is God being exchanged for something or someone? Where am I at? Can I get back? Those are questions. I can guarantee that people sitting here, all of us are in different stages. Some of us doubtful. Some of us strong conviction. Some of us start good, yet falter. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? To falter? To fall down? So what happens when there's no worship and thanksgiving? God gets replaced. He's not number one anymore. He's not number one. What happens is convictions get diluted. Your conviction of who God is becomes diluted. Commitments shift because, you know what, today, number one, because I got all good things. You know, I'm praying for this job. I got this job. After a few months, the job becomes difficult. Oh boy, the boss is not what I thought the boss to be. Lord, what are you doing to me? I thought this was my dream job that you gave me. Commitment shift. Who's taking spot number one now because he's not providing what you need? Think of the immutable facts. Commitments shift. And finally, character erodes. Character erodes. Because someone else is on the spot. Someone else is number one. There is an erosion of character gradually. Does that happen to Christians? It doesn't happen to Christians, Bobby. It doesn't happen to Christians because you know what? We are rooted. Is it true? It doesn't happen to Christians. We are rooted. I am strong. I was strong yesterday. I am strong today. Tomorrow I'll be strong. I like the hope. But today I don't feel that strong. And that's okay. That's fine. And that's fine. So, why do I say that's fine? Because there is hope. Because we can come back to a life of worship and life of thanksgiving. There is a way back. There is hope. Because you know why? God is good. God is love. And He is faithful. Three immutable characteristics. There is way back. So, what does a life of worship and thanksgiving look like? Three things. We looked at what a life of worship, life without worship and thanksgiving looks like. What does a life of worship and thanksgiving look like? Strengthens conviction, deepens commitment, and defines character. If the other one erodes character, this one will define your character. When you live a life of worship and thanksgiving, it strengthens conviction, deepens commitment, and defines character. No matter where we start, begin by taking small steps toward life, toward worship and thanksgiving. Let's look at the first one, strengthens conviction. Life of worship and thanksgiving strengthens conviction in three main areas, First one, worthiness of God. Revelation 4:11, NIV version, "You're worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Worthiness of God. God is worthy. The finished work of Christ. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. And leading of the Holy Spirit. But when your Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. John 14:26. What I'm noticing these days is my voice gives up on me easily. Excuse me. I should keep my messages to 10 minutes. Excuse me. All right. Strengthens conviction. So, excuse me. So, a life of worship and thanksgiving strengthens conviction in three areas: worthiness of God, the finished work of Christ, and leading of the Holy Spirit. And these are three areas, if you notice, where Satan tends to put doubt. Is God actually worthy to be praised? Look what he's done for you. Nothing. Seriously, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved? What kind of theology is that? And you follow a Christ who died on the cross? Your Savior is dead? He went to the cross? He's not a fighter? He gave up? What is that? You see where I'm going with this? Doubt creeps in. Conviction deepens conviction. You know the truth. Worship, thanksgiving, to deepen conviction. If not, commitment will shift. Commitment will shift. According to the culture around you, something else, someone else will take the pedestal. Oh, it doesn't happen to Christians, Bobby. Think again. Look around you. Look around. Churches are shutting shop. Pews are becoming empty. Someone or something has taken the pedestal. So a life of worship and thanksgiving strengthens conviction. A life of worship and thanksgiving deepens commitment in two areas. Deepens commitment in two areas. The first area, commitment to truth. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 2, 6, 7. That's truth, commitment to truth, always to the truth, which is God is worthy to be praised, the finished work of Christ, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, very essential. The next one is commitment to service. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Both are essential. Commitment to truth and commitment to service. Both are important. That is what is valued by God. That is why in Matthew 7, 21, 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I will ask you, I don't know you, but Lord, I prophesied, I helped the poor, I did this, I did that, in your name. True, you were committed to service, but you were not committed to me. So, you need to be committed to truth first, and then committed to service. Both gives value. That deepens commitment. Finally, life of worship and thanksgiving defines character, a character that is pleasing to God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It defines character. Do it wholeheartedly. Do it with your whole being. Defines character. Take a stand for the truth. Take a stand. That's my encouragement. We live in a world where things are fluid, where convictions are diluted, commitments shift, and character is eroding. Let us take a stand. Let us have an attitude of worship and thankfulness so that our convictions are strengthened, our commitments are deepened, and our character is defined. Well, can we find this in the Bible, Bobby? Any examples coming to mind where this has happened? I need both old and new. I just don't depend on old. I need it seen through and through. Let's look. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Old Testament characters. They had strong convictions. They had deep commitments. And they were men of character. So much so that King Nebuchadnezzar says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God. Because of their strong conviction, deepened commitment, and strong character, or character that is defined, the people around them saw it and were impacted. So much so that the king proclaimed, let's all worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, if it's promotion that you're worried about, they got it after being thrown into the fire, okay? Is there a New Testament example? Yes, there is. Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas is in Philippi. Paul and Silas, as usual, goes out, sees somebody in need, serves. This time the serving was healing. Whoops! Problem. Gets thrown in prison. Commitment to the truth, commitment to service, bad result. Gets thrown in prison. Not just in prison, stripped, severely flogged, in a cell, and to top it all, feet in stock. What do they do? Oh, woe is me, Lord, all this has happened because I stood for you. You know what? I'm going to keep someone else on the pedestal. Acts 16, 23, 25, 29 says a different story. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" People around Paul and Silas impacted by his deep conviction, strong conviction, deep commitment, and defined character in time of crisis. In time of crisis, when things are going good, praise God, hallelujah. It's when things are going bad. Bobby, that's not just me. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. God is a God, immutable facts, who is good, loving, and faithful. It's not what you do. It's where you want to be. It's where you want to be. There is hope. Come back. Come back. All right. Last slide. Where are we? I'll end with this. Where are we? As far as our strengthens conviction, deepens commitment, defines character is concerned, where are we? Am I always in times of crisis happy and praising God? Ask my family. I'm not. Does that mean that God will zap me? Psst. Today I'm going to zap Bobby. Psst. Today I'm feeling good. Oh, poor Bobby. I'm glad. Immutable facts again. I'm glad that God is good. He's loving. He's faithful. Because no matter how I'm feeling and how I'm behaving because of my difficult situation, He will come through. Are you with me? Are you with me? He will come through. He will come through. But give Him a chance. Give Him a chance. So, in my times of trouble, do I always praise and thank God? No. Do I complain? Yes, absolutely. I'm no angel. But, let me not take away worship and thanksgiving completely, because you know why? Someone else will take the pedestal. And then my character begins to erode. Then it's a domino effect. I don't want to go that way. But Bobby, I can't help it. No worries. Where's your heart? God will reach out, grab you. But when that hand is, come forward. Pull up. Pull up. So, I end with this. Where are we? Strong conviction deepens commitment, defines character. No matter where you are, and which is the area that's affected, I don't know. I know which is mine. Sometimes all three. But I don't want to stay there. I want to get back on track and do that which pleases the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship, and thank you. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you are our Father, you're our God, you're our Creator. Thank you that you're good, that you love us, and you're faithful all the time. Lord, in our struggles, Lord, come through. In our pain, Lord, come through. That we may have a heart of worship, we may have a heart of thanksgiving. That as your children, we will not be lost, but come back to you. That we may experience you. And we may live a life that is pleasing to you, committed to the truth, and committed to serve, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for hearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.